Ia male ava.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
Objective coverage.
Hey, that's new.
If we get caught, we're going to jail.
The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of Off the Hook Sports. YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the free Off the Hook Sports app.
I'm going to need to see some identification.
Back to Dave Hooker.
All right, welcome to the program as it is a Friday. And coming up on the show today with Caleb Calhoun, I am Dave Hooker. We have plenty of things to talk about, never short when it comes to college football, especially in the SEC. Josh Heupel visits with Josh Pate, who we are both fans of. Josh Heupel says his coaches' voices aren't being heard. What does he mean by that? And could Josh Heupel be a leader of coaches one day? Nick Saban was on the draft last night. Speaking of Nico Iamaleava, how to think that could be me in a couple years. Where might he have fit in? Also, Josh Heupel trying to force a leadership role on Elijah Simmons. We'll discuss that. He did the same thing with Joe Milton last year. Didn't work incredibly well, but maybe better with Simmons this year. And Deion Sanders, Colorado, seems like they're trying to target Tennessee specifically. We'll look at some of the numbers. And a former Vol is being accused on betting against himself in prop bets. This is not something that you should throw around flippantly. We'll discuss it. Very serious accusations. But first, and it's on offthehooksports.com, so I'd encourage you to check it out. We appreciate that. But, Caleb, it is one, and I want people's thoughts on the poll question, and that'll get us rolling here today. And you have Nico Iamaleava, according to an interview who I believe was done with Brent Hubbs. Nevertheless, it was on three, and it was their Vol confidential or whatever they call it. And he said his goal is to win an SEC championship, to make the 12-team playoff. This is a very confident young man who's only started one game against what we would have to agree was an inferior opponent. First of all, how are you, Caleb?
I was waiting for you to ask me how I was because you aren't consoling me at all, okay? Because I am really mad about my Titans drafting J.C. Latham. I wanted Olufashinu. J.C. Latham is too raw, and he lost that game for Alabama in the college football playoff this past year. So
Latham's a great pick, but I'll tell you about that later. But first, Nico, cool, calm, and collected, or a little bit too cocky? News also coming out that he still likes to wear pajama pants at practice. What say you, Caleb Calhoun?
I think he's cool, calm, and collected. And it's, I'll be honest, I this is an unfortunate stereotype on my end, and I apologize because we should never stereotype at all based on someone's race or ethnicity or their background. But I assumed him coming from California, being Polynesian, he'd be that kind of the quiet type that like does what he's told as the quarterback. You know what I mean? And I just immediately thought Marcus Mariota, and that was wrong of me. I never should have done that. I plead guilty. He has got moxie that you don't see. He's got more moxie than any quarterback that's played for Josh Heupel at Tennessee so far, quite honestly.
Yeah, two things, and I am going to stereotype. All those Polynesian guys listen first. So I do think he's a – and I mean that as a compliment. Smart people listen first. So he does listen first, but then he's not afraid to enact. JT Maupu, for instance, he knew, and if you want to go Jesse Mahalona back in the day, they knew the gap to hit, but they knew to give it 110%, and that's what made them special football players. So he knows that. As far as guys, the PJ Bottoms, and I want to check in on that poll question now, see if anybody's gone a little too cocky. Not yet. Everybody goes calm and cool. The PJ Bottoms is a generational thing that I noticed it when I was flying. I'm just going to have to get over. Kids younger than me, and I did turn 50, are going to wear pajama bottoms in public, and that's just something that's going to happen on the football field, at an airport, and I'm just going to have to accept it. And I'm good with it, and I'm moving on.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because like people that are getting mad about it, I'm like, guys, y'all do know that like in the 50s, people got mad when people started casually wearing jeans because they were supposed to be workman pants. And guess what? Jeans became a thing.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really like it.
No. It's fair to not like it. But it's It's like when people like, oh, today's generation. You know how many times in history people complained about today's generation and today's
And I saw people, and at the airport, don't use the generation thing, because I saw people in their 30s and 40s that were getting away with PJ bottoms too.
Oh yeah, it's the same like with music. You know, I love how the fans of rock and roll will then come around and be like, rap's not music. I'm like, well, you know, when rock and roll came out, people were saying that wasn't music. So yes. You know.
Yes. Everybody likes cases music. It was Caucasians. It was taking African American music and profiting off of it. Not a bad move. I think Eminem once said Boundless moving from 2 hour minimums to the turnkey operations. They have you covered. Just Google Boundless moving in East Tennessee or in Charlotte as well. And we turn our attention to the draft. It is time for today's tough question, and it's brought to you by our good friend Rick Terry Jewelry Design.
Today's tough question. Take a side.
Take a stand.
The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
Okay, when Caleb Calhoun first says this, you're reminded of the fact that he's as high on Nico as Cheech and Chong was the Kush. He loves Nico Iyapmoliava. He thinks he's going to have a Heisman type of year and a national championship potentially. So today's tough question is, Nico Iyapmoliava going to be better than all of the quarterbacks drafted in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft? So give me the guys that were drafted, and then let's take a look at them and tell me what you think. I know where you stand. I'm going to have a bit of a bone to pick on a couple of these guys.
All right, so for those who don't know, it's the first time in history. It's the most number of draft picks, it's the most number of quarterbacks drafted in the first round in history, and they were all drafted in the first 12 rounds or 12 picks. Six of the first 12 picks were quarterbacks, including the first three picks. And I'm just going to give you an order. Caleb Williams went first to the Chicago Bears. Jane Daniels went second to the Washington Commanders. Drake May went third to the New England Patriots. Michael Penix Jr. went fourth to the Atlanta Falcons. Went eighth to the Atlanta Falcons. Still don't understand that one, since they just gave Kirk Cousins all that money. J.J. McCarthy went 10th to the Minnesota Vikings. And Bo Nix went 12th to the Denver Broncos.
Okay. And couple of guys who I like out of that group that I don't think you can say Nico Iyapmoliava is going to be better than right now. Now, he may end up being better than the group of them. It may not even be close. Nobody remembers who was drafted the year before Peyton Manning or the year before Tom Brady necessarily. I remind you that Rick Terry Jewelry Design, they want to be your jeweler. Looking for affordable game day jewelry? How about the Fire Opals, the Tennessee tradition? RickTerryJewelry.com, RickTerryJewelry.com. He's actually working on my wife's rings right now. We appreciate that. RickTerryJewelry.com. I can't say that Nico is going to be better than Caleb Williams, because Caleb Williams, I understand that 75% of his game is still an unknown. I think it's that 25% where he makes things happen off schedule, and that's what has people excited. I still think 75% of his game is largely unknown. It's a lot of RPO actions, a lot of stuff that's not going to work in the NFL. But still, I do think he's a pretty special talent. And you know the other one that's going to surprise you? And I'm not just throwing this out there. And the pick didn't make any sense. But the guy I like as a quarterback more than a lot of people is Michael Penix. And he gets thrown in there. I heard somebody today say, oh, he's a guy that runs around a lot. No, he's not. He's a guy who sits in the pocket and picks defenses apart. As a matter of fact, he hates to run. It's just stereotyping because he's an African-American quarterback, basically. I really like him long-term to be a 10- or 12-year guy. I don't know if that's a starter or not. So that's a pretty high mark, right? I mean, if you manage to stay in the NFL as a quarterback for 10 or 12 years, regardless of whether or not you were Kirk Cousins or a superstar or somewhere in between, who was the guy, the Seattle Seahawks, that was for the Jets a long time?
Geno Smith.
Yes, if you manage to stay around, that's a pretty high bar. I think we both agree Nico's going to do more than stay around.
Yes, and you're right. 10 to 12 years, you get you have generational wealth at that point. You have wealth that's going to change your whole family's life. So even if you don't, you know, Josh Dobbs has been around for 7 years. I think by this point, he's made generational wealth as a quarterback. And then he's going to make more as an astronaut. But
and in the grand scheme of things, that's one hell of an accomplishment. I mean, that's talking about being one of the top 0.00001% of quarterbacks in your generation, right?
Yes. And you're also at top 0.00. Yeah, and you're also at top 0.001% of wealth in world history with what you've generated for yourself.
True.
And true. So, but Nico Iamaleava is going to be better than every single quarterback in this draft. And this
Which
is the
one
most.
Which one do you think will be the greatest challenge to him? And I want to hear that too on our Ray Varner Ford message board. Go ahead and get on board there. Which one's the greatest challenge? And yes, Hooker likes penis. I do. I like Penix. Excuse me. Caleb, which is the one that's the greatest challenge? Is it Caleb?
You know, I would go Caleb Williams, but not because I believe in Caleb Williams, because I'd not like you. I don't. But the Bears hired the Seahawks offensive coordinator who did resurrect Geno Smith's career, basically. And so if anybody could work with Caleb Williams, it's probably him. But I just don't. And I've been big on this from the start. I think this quarterback draft class is overrated. Actually, the most challenging one, I'm going to be honest, will be Drake May, who got drafted by the Patriots. Dave, that's a perfect fit. That is a perfect fit for the Patriots, isn't he? Drake May. And
I like May the first half of the season. I didn't see a lot of development, which, listen, Drake May should be the ultimate warning sign that if you don't go to a place that develops quarterbacks, you're not going to get any better. Drake May was as good when he hit the field for his first game at North Carolina as his last. If you go to a place like Tennessee or other places, say Southern California, you're going to develop as a quarterback because they've got a quarterback coach as their head coach. Am I wrong? And Smoky Mountain Red, I don't hate that you have Drake number one quarterback in this draft. I think there's a strong argument to be made for that. I just don't think he got better the second half of the year last year.
I don't think you're wrong. But I think that's what the Patriot way is going to do, is they will develop you in the NFL, even with Gerard Mayo now as head coach, who, former Vol, we all wish him the best, because I think he's a very smart guy. Alex Van Pelt's the offensive coordinator. Mack Brown has never really developed players at quarterback. I mean, Vince Young, you watch Vince Young play at Texas. Mack Brown didn't do any developing. He just gave Vince Young the ball and was like, hey, go win me some games. And that's what he did.
I mean, Vince Young had the worst throwing motion for any championship quarterback perhaps I've ever seen. I mean, the guy that dropped it down to almost a submariner as a pitcher.
He did. It was a weird sidearm. And it's funny you bring that up, because I think that's one of the things that did in Casey Clawson for his NFL potential is, I don't want to take a shot at Randy Sanders, but Clawson looked as good as a senior as he did as a sophomore, as a quarterback. And
I think that's a great comparison. I think if Drake May, if it was a situation where you had to stay in college for five more years, would he come out that much better under Mack Brown?
No, not much at all. Now, but he is, again, he's in New England where they can develop him. So I think because he's in New England, I think he's probably the biggest challenge for Nico. But I just think Nico's so significantly better. And Nico's a guy that there are certain quarterbacks who are so good. I actually think Arch Manning's in this category too. I think Shador Sanders is in this category. I think Carson Beck is in this category. I don't think any of the quarterbacks in this year's draft are in this category. Those four that I just named, though, who are going to be coming out over the next couple of years, they're the type of quarterback that they don't need the right coach to develop them in the NFL. They're just going to be good.
Okay, I want to ask you this. If Nico could have been drafted last night and fit into one of these scenarios, be it number one or be it where Bo Nix went at number 12, if he could fit into one of those scenarios with that team, what would be the best fit for Nico? And mine's going to surprise you. 15 seconds from Ray Varner Ford.
Bronco, 59,829. 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540. 24 Ford Explorer, XLT four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
I know you don't like the pick, and I don't blame you at all, but it's Atlanta. Because they just basically told Kirk Cousins, you're dead to us. You can hold that position for a year or two, but we're going with the Penix guy, and they would have gone with the Nico guy had he been there at number, was it nine?
Eight.
They were going to make a move. That's the best position to be in, and you're in a big town where you can make all kinds of endorsement dollars.
there's a team in the top 12. If I had to say of the top 12 teams that picked, though, there's a team that would have been the best fit for Nico that didn't pick a quarterback. And that team would have been the New York Jets. If Nico could sit behind Aaron Rodgers for 2 years, and then he gets to
stand behind him, any of those guys play ahead of him. The guy's old.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers might get hurt. Yeah. I mean, if the Jets had if Zach Wilson wasn't the most god-awful quarterback to ever, like, set foot on the field, the Jets are probably a Super Bowl contender last year, even after Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. So, look, yes, Nico's going to be better. Guys, hear me out now. Nico Iamaleava is going to be better than every quarterback on that list. And, Dave, I'm going to push back against Michael Pitt. I'm just going to go with them real quick. I talked about Caleb Williams. Holds on to the ball too long. Tries to make plays. Not going to work in the NFL, but he's in a good situation because he's got weapons. And by the way, he's got Darnell Wright protecting him, which is pretty impressive. And he's got a good offensive coordinator. Second, Jayden Daniels. Apologies, Jayden Daniels. You're going to Washington. You're automatically done. It's over. Your career is over because you got picked by Washington. And I sympathize for you on that. Jayden Daniels is about to be surpassed by the quarterback that's about to replace him at LSU. And he just won the Heisman. Because Garrett Nussmeier, spoiler alert, guys, is better than Jayden Daniels. And I think significantly so. So that's Jayden Daniels on that. Moving down, I'm fighting you on Michael Penix. Michael Penix, yes, he's a pocket passer. But when he's under pressure, he's wildly inaccurate. Did you forget that fourth down play action where he had a wide open touchdown in the national title game against Michigan? But he missed it because he was so rattled because of the hits that were put on him?
Nah, and I'm not high on any of these guys, and I'm not higher on him than the rest of them. I'm just higher on him than a lot of the analysts out there.
Okay, fair enough.
I think he's a good pick if you don't think Kirk Cousins is the long-term answer, and Kirk Cousins is almost as old as me, so he's clearly not the long-term answer.
That is true.
So if that's the best value, I like him better than Bo Nix, don't you?
Well, we'll get to him in a second. We'll talk to him about him in a minute. But Nick Saban says Bo Nix is the most accurate quarterback in this draft. But
how did you think Nick Saban did last night? As I bet you he'll be on again, and I would have bet you that he did well because he's a perfectionist. 125% bonus from BetUS on your first three deposits, and you get a 10% gambler's insurance. Click right below now. BetUS. Nick Saban's a TV superstar.
Favorite sportsbook and casino, live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Before we get to Saban, your thoughts on one last thought on Nico?
Well, just wanted to go through this because, yes, Bo Nix to Denver. J.J. McCarthy to Minnesota. I just think J.J. McCarthy is a great decision maker but doesn't meet base-level physical skills. Nico's not alone. Dave, I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to name him. Like, again, next year, Carson Beck, Shedeur Sanders. The year after, Nico Iamaleava, Arch Manning. Do you think any four of those quarterbacks is not better than every single quarterback taken in this year's draft?
I'm not with you on Carson or Manning yet, but I think the two that you mentioned, I like Sanders and I like Nico better than any of these guys. It's not to say I won't be with you on Beck. I'm close to you on Beck. I can't say that I'm close to you on Manning. I haven't seen him nearly enough, and you haven't either, in all fairness, Caleb.
I believe I saw his highlight reels in high school and I believed in him. If you tell me, I am told he has a combination of Eli Manning's arm and Archie Manning's athleticism. If he has Peyton Manning's intelligence, you just constructed the greatest quarterback of all time, didn't you?
Or if he has Peyton Manning's forehead, you got Rocky Dennis. So Nick Saban is on television last night, and he is breaking down quarterbacks in the transfer portal, which really he's on the draft. So I don't know why he's on the NFL draft. It's strange to me why some guys are NFL guys and why some guys are college guys, but he seems like a college guy. Nevertheless, he said that we tried to get this guy when he was at Toledo. And did he admit to tampering on national television last night? Is that what Nick Saban did?
That's exactly what he did. So just for context, he was with the College Game Day crew. So they were covering the NFL draft, which makes sense to cover it from the college perspective of players.
Sure.
And so, yes, Toledo cornerback Quinyon Mitchell Nick Saban said, quote, he was our number one guy in the portal last year to try to get him to come out of the portal, and he would never get in the portal. Oops, because Nick Saban has, in case you guys forgot, has complained about every bit of tampering that goes on in college football. That's one of his like whole rants about, you know, the college football is not what I thought it would be today. Or I can't do a Nick Saban impression, but
you cannot.
But still, like, he was like, he's been like, you know, the whole like, you know, so altruistic and just believing in the righteousness of college football and having a problem with the way it's going and saying he didn't want to be a part of it. And he says that. Meanwhile, 2 years ago, he had been accused of tampering from Louisville head coach Scott Satterfield. And his quote was, we don't tamper with anybody. So I don't know anything or anybody that tampered with him. There have been multiple accusations of Nick Saban in Alabama tampering. There have been when he was there. He denied them. It was mostly smoke, so I never said anything about it. And then he goes on TV and goes, yeah, no, I basically tampered with the guy.
Here's my thing, though. I'm going to defend Nick Saban for a second. Smoky Mountain Red said, related to Deion Sanders, is his coaching style running players off? Yes, I believe it is. But first, let's talk about Nick Saban for a second. I'm going to defend him. I think that he probably – somebody came to him. There are parts of this business that I detest. And thank God I have – an incredible person, and Caleb, and an incredible wife who is very who assists in a couple of those regards. And I think that Nick Saban says, I detest this transfer portal thing. This is all that's wrong with football. This is why I'm going to retire. I hate it. Bob, what do you usually do? It's like, well, I typically clean out the stadium restrooms. Well, now you're in charge of the damn transfer portal. And that's basically how that shook out. I don't believe that he knowingly tampered. I think that somebody on his staff probably said, hey, Nick, we're going to call this dude, and didn't mention to him that it was not the contact period, and they just called, and he thought calls would happen all the time. Why shouldn't they? There are no rules anyway, Caleb.
But Nick Saban, like, now, knows about
your answers. Your answer's supposed to be, but he has the responsibility to know.
I mean, yes, there's that, but also he knows about the tampering rules. He knows about the tampering rules because every coach still knows about that. So if an assistant says, I'm going to call this guy, he hasn't entered the portal, you don't have to be working on this to know, oh, that's tampering. Don't do it. So I don't care if someone else did that. Nick Saban knew at the very least.
Well, so, maybe I'm going to defend Nick Saban one more time. And maybe it's because of that great stuff at the Hemp House, the premier hemp dispensary online with a wide variety, great selection, strict standards. To ensure you only receive the best in CBD or Delta products, Hemp House Chat with 2Ts.com. Hemp House Chat with 2Ts.com. Use the promo code HOOK for 10% off. Promo code HOOK for 10% off. Well, it was a stupid rule that's illegal, so Nick Saban doesn't have to follow that. It's illegal to get in the way of a young man making a living, therefore telling me that I can't contact him and if he's at another school. If Caleb Calhoun, you are the top engineer at the University of Tennessee, and Harvard calls and says, we realize that you're about to rewrite quantum physics, and we want you at Harvard instead of the University of Tennessee. They have every right to call you. So I think Nick Saban saw that this rule was anti-American, and he said, let prospects transfer again. He had whole 9 yards.
The same Nick Saban that testified before Congress about asking for regulations on NIL, the same Nick Saban that's working with Tommy Tuberville to try to take power away from players in the NIL market, please, Nick Saban genuinely doesn't believe that. If you want to just say he was looking out for the best thing for Alabama, which he was, fine. Now, I get your point, Dave. I actually have, as I say all this, I hold Nick Saban in higher regard than 97% of college or pro coaches in history as a person, and I hold his mind in higher regard than 99.9% of coaches in college history.
Even though he admitted that he cheated on national television last night, but you still love him. Go ahead.
You love him more, but we all know hookers have a history of loving Alabama coaches, if y'all know what I'm talking about.
Roll Tide.
You know, there's that guy named Mike who, if the price was right, I just had to go there.
You'll never forget. You'll never forget when you write the sentence, "Roll Tide," close quote, the lady known as Destiny said.
Destiny and Destin. He picked up Destiny and Destin.
Destiny and Destin, yes.
With the right price, which was his last name.
Yes. Okay. So you were saying. Okay.
Yeah. So I think. All in all, I'm not sitting here going to look. There's going to be some Tennessee fans. There's going to be some Georgia fans. There's going to be some LSU fans that are going to be like, "Oh my God, I can't believe he tampered. That's not fair. And he cheated. And Alabama should lose all their national championships because of it." That's not going to be me.
Did he misspeak or is he a cheater? That's the question. He either misspoke and he said that he went after a kid when he couldn't, or that he misspoke, or he just admitted to cheating, right?
He admitted to cheating. Now, again, I'm with you. I don't really have a problem, that much of a problem with it, except for his grandstanding on his issues with college football today. But in his defense, and I will come to your side on this, when you're coaching at Alabama, you may hate the rules. You may not like that some things are illegal. You're still going to your job is to do what's best for your program and to push the rules as far as you can with what you can get away with. Isn't that your job as a coach when you're trying to deliver results? So
yeah, but he is a holier than thou, I don't cheat type of guy. So
no, he's never been that. No, he's not Joe Paterno.
He's been that. I'm not saying he should have been that, but he's not been
sanctimonious.
Oh, I think the whole speed of the game thing was very sanctimonious.
That was meticulous in thinking about Alabama football. That was calculating.
Self-serving, sanctimonious. Let's not play semantics. A lot of big S words there.
There's a difference.
Self-serving. Okay, fine. Self-serving. I think I will change my verbiage. I think it was very self-serving. I think Joe Paterno did a lot of things that were self-serving, maybe sanctimonious as well. I remind you, if you want the Four Seasons of Comfort, you've got to check out our friends Dynasty Pools and Spas. They're right here, and they deliver to you, and they're all local. Just listen for a moment to Dynasty Pools. You know, the best thing about Dynasty Pools and Spas is that they've got it all taken care of. What does that mean? Well, you stop by their showroom and check out their fantastic selection of top-notch spas in that showroom in Athens. Make your pick and get ready. Because Dynasty Pools and Spas delivers within 125 miles of that location in Athens, that fantastic showroom. They've got the cover lifts, steps, chemicals, and everything you need. Delivery at no extra charge. They're just down the road in Athens. You pick the spa you want, and it'll be there for you. Oftentimes discounted with military and first responders discounts. Also blemish models, or just mention Off the Hook Sports. That's Off the Hook Sports for $500 off. There's a discount for you on spas made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas also has the best chemicals for you and your spa and your pool. No fillers, just the chemicals made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas, $500 off. If you mention Off the Hook Sports, $500 off. If you mention Off the Hook Sports, Dynasty Pools and Spas, dynastypoolsandspas.com. Do me a favor and stop by that showroom in Athens. It's phenomenal. And join Hooker's Corner. It is our official fan group. The link is right there. You can be a part of the crew. And we got a John Henderson helmet to give away, autographed by the man himself, John Henderson. Just be a part of the group. Weekly prizes and our monthly prize for April will be given away a week from Friday. So that's end of May. But I want you to be sure and be aware of that. So all of the situations that Nico could have fallen in yesterday, last night in round one of the NFL draft, Caleb, his best situation would have been what?
Oh, I still maintain, if we're going back to Nico, I maintain that it would have been the Jets. If he could have fallen into the Jets at the 11th.
Other than that, because that wasn't really realistic. Right.
But if he were playing yesterday, if you're talking about
the guys that took quarterbacks,
the franchises that took quarterbacks, probably Denver, because Denver doesn't have a quarterback and they have the worst quarterback room in the history of mankind. I need to address the difference real quick between sanctimony and self-serving, because
this sounds self-serving.
Self-serving.
The irony of it. You do realize the irony of it.
Yes, no, I get it. But it's calculating by Nick Saban to try to change the rules for what he thinks is best for the program he's running because he's doing his job. Joe Paterno wasn't doing the best for Penn State. Joe Paterno let the program get run amok, but he was sanctimonious because he wanted to act like he was a more, he was a holier-than-thou human, and he had the right to do that because he was so moral.
Well, no, wait. Now, Nick Saban, if he's cheating, that's not holding the University of Alabama in the highest regard. That could get them in trouble. The difference between sanctimonious and self-serving, what you're saying, is it deals with moral obligations, correct?
Yes.
Basically, yes. Is the big difference. And Joe Paterno took that to a whole different level. There's no question about it. So we talk about Saban on the show. By the way, Josh Heupel is just a superstar. He is absolutely all over the place. As he said, coaches' voices aren't being heard. Is Josh Heupel becoming a voice of the coaches? Is he becoming that guy that can be the voice of perhaps even a conference? Doesn't seem to be Kirby Smart's most comfortable position. And now Nick Saban is gone. I wonder where he might stack up against those that want to have a voice in the shaping of the conference moving forward. With Caleb Calhoun, I'm Dave Hooker. 2 minutes. Josh Heupel with some interesting comments after this.
Fifth year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that. If we wouldn't put our family in it, we're not going to put their family in it. If you're going to say that you're doing the best work in Knoxville, now saying it's one thing, producing it and providing it's another.
The largest family-owned collision center in Knoxville is Joe Neubert Collision Center.
Hi, I'm Rick Terry, and we at Rick Terry Jewelry Designs pride ourselves in the highest quality craftsmanship from a family-owned business here in Knoxville for over 35 years. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we also take pride in being an affordable option for all your game day accessories, especially those fire opals. At Rick Terry Jewelry Designs, we want to be your jeweler every day and especially on game day. Go Vols!
Hi, Mike Davis here with City Heating and Air, reminding you to always dare to compare. Our team provides quality local heating and air service, installation, and maintenance across East Tennessee. We use only the best equipment like American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning for your residential, new construction, or commercial needs. Honesty, dependability, and customer satisfaction have been the cornerstones of our business since 1961. City Heat and Air.
There's your bear.
Experience it all at Ray Varner Ford in Clinton. Need a quick fix or routine maintenance? Visit our Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. Keep your Ford running smoothly with the experts in our service department. Ready for your next Ford? Our sales team's here to guide you through. 24 Ford Badlands Bronco, 59,829. 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540. 24 Ford Explorer, XLT four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks & Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
Who's this guy?
Hello, wizard!
The Dave Hooker Show.
Ooh.
A presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
What?
YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the free Off the Hook Sports app. Back to Dave Hooker.
No great surprise on the poll question. Give me a reset of that, Caleb. I just took it down, but it was 94 to 6%. 94 to 6%. What was that poll question again about Nico?
Cool, calm, and collected, or a little bit too cocky?
Okay, so we're going to replace that right now. It's time for this day in Tennessee football history, but our poll question now is going to be, is it time for Josh Heupel to be a leader among SEC coaches? He's already a leader among his own team, correct, Caleb?
That is correct. That is correct. He is.
Okay. What could he bring to the table if he were a leader among the SEC coaches, if he were a voice of change of direction with the SEC and college football?
I think Josh Heupel could bring a unique perspective on players who, you know, high profile players who are now involved in coaching, because look, I mean, every coach is a former player for the most part, but it's not as common. I mean, Tennessee has one of the few, and Johnny Majors in Florida had Steve Spurrier, but you know this, Dave, high profile players becoming very successful head coaches is not as common. And high profile players from this century, I mean, Josh Heupel played in 2000 for Tennessee and helped them and helped Oklahoma. I'm not for Tennessee, for Oklahoma, excuse me. And helped Oklahoma win a national title. He was a transfer, came out of nowhere to do it, by the way. So I think Heupel has a unique understanding more than most of what players have to navigate in the college football world today as it changes. And if, and also in terms of NIL, Heupel is a pretty good player advocate because, let's just say it, Heupel's probably, would you say, one of the top, in terms of players this century who were robbed of money more than anybody else had a chance to make money. Like Tim Tebow's number one. He was the most popular player of all time when he was playing. But Josh Heupel's got to be in the top 10, right?
Of players that robbed his money because there was no NIL?
Because there was no NIL, yeah.
Yeah, but let's talk about how this transfer portal thing, as it affects coaches for a second. It's Four Downs. It's brought to you by Dynasty Pools and Spas. Check them out at their Athens location, because I'm going to tell you why it's time for Josh Heupel to step up and be more of a leader among SEC coaches right now. What do people need to do if they want to be a part?
Cooper Mays here. Hit like and subscribe.
Thanks, Coop.
Four Downs brought to you by Dynasty Spas, the most comfortable spas made in the United States of America, right here in East Tennessee. Drop in for the all-new showroom in Athens. Dynasty Spas, perfect for all four seasons. Four Downs, presented by Off the Hook Sports.
All right, if you can pull up that quote, I would appreciate it, because that'll give us a little bit of insight into which direction it seems that Josh Heupel wants to take this thing. So can we go ahead and pull that quote up and play it, or do I need to do it from my end?
Because no, I can pull it up and play it real quick.
Okay, let's play that. Hit it.
Make sure the volume is all the way up. I apologize, guys. Boomer moment for me.
I think, you know, in the general landscape of college football right now, some of the things, playing rules, for example, you know, coaches' voices aren't being heard. And it's not that they're not being voiced. You know, just how college football is aligned, who's in control of what. I think some of those things just, you know, aren't heard or get muted.
Okay, here we go.
Coop here, first down.
So you have a point, Caleb?
Yes, he absolutely has a point. I mean, and it's, in Josh Heupel's defense, it's not just coaches. Fans' voices aren't being heard. Players' voices, even though they're getting the NIL money, aren't being heard. College football is, there is a group of people, and I'm not going to say that they are that this involves the two major conference commissioners, but it involves the two major conference commissioners. So I lied. I want to say it. But there is a group of people that are looking on how they can line their own pockets at the maximum level from college football and damn anything else about the future of the sport. And they don't care about the future of the sport. They don't care about the work-life balance for coaches. You've talked about it, Dave. Coaches are jumping to the NFL right now, particularly assistant coaches, because they can't handle what's being put on them right now by the people who run college football, because the calendar's so messed up.
Be sure and hit that like and subscribe button. Thank you for reminding me, Jonathan. We appreciate that on our Ray Varner Ford message board. What down, Coop?
Cooper Mays here. Second down.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. So respond to this. Coaches, even at the assistant level, have financial independence they never dreamed of. They're making hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're going to be able to retire at a decent age. It's not like it used to. I don't want to hear you griping anymore. You got taken care of in this last wave of college football change, which I would say was about 98 when they unified the national championship game. More money came in. You got yours. Sorry. Don't care. You got it tough. Too bad. Kick rocks. Don't care.
Okay. There's a couple of things to that.
All right. Because you know, I don't feel that way. I want to play, but I do want to challenge his point a little bit.
I am one who always has said that, like, look, I don't like wealthy people complaining a lot of times. I mean, they get every tax loophole in the book, and you know they don't have to pay. So they get a lot. They get a lot in this country in particular. But Josh Heupel, but coach, even if you get a lot, there is a work-life balance level that I don't care if you're making $18 trillion in a second. You physically cannot do what is asked of you. It is literally beyond the human limits. And they're pushing coaches in college beyond that with this calendar. On top of that, Dave, I hate to attach altruism to any coach, but if you care about the long-term health of the sport, I think a lot of coaches and players care about the long-term health of the sport they're involved in. So if you care about the long-term health, even if your pockets are fine, you may be very uncomfortable with the sport and the future of it. And they have every right to be worried about that. And so I think that's the issue. And I think that's what Josh Heupel's really saying. He said alignment. He specifically said alignment. That was a direct shot at Greg Sankey.
Hit that like and subscribe button. Jump on our Ray Varner Ford message board. What down, Coop? Because I'm going to challenge you with something else.
Tennessee center Cooper Mays here. Third down.
General Nealon on the message board said it. We'd still be going 4-8 if it weren't for NIL. That's absolutely right. Josh Heupel sounds a little hypocritical because you would have had a lot more of a challenge ahead of you rebuilding Tennessee's program if not for NIL.
Who said NIL was the only problem, though, with what's going on right now? I mean,
well,
NIL.
The coaching calendar, the early coaching, the early signing day, all that to me is kind of one big blob. The transfer portal, the whole nine yards. One big blob of how the sport has evolved over the past 5 years.
Yeah, but you're missing a huge aspect of this, the realignment of the sport. That's the true. Sucking up of power by the SEC and the Big Ten when there's just the changing of the rules on a dime. Heupel said in this interview, by the way, guys, he actually said that, you know, when we're made aware of rule changes, he's like, most of the time coaches are made aware at the same time the public's made aware. We're not made aware of them any time earlier. And
well, that's because of league stuff and they like to use the media. Sorry, you made that bed. Sleep in it.
But what I'm saying is that what he's saying
you
is...
You know it's true.
No, it is true. It is true. But I don't think Heupel's opposed to NIL. I don't think he's opposed to the transfer portal. I think he's opposed to the calendar because college football, even you have to agree with this, Dave, because the way we go about this, like we're on suicide watch in December with how much work we're having to do because of everything happening in December. And then May comes and there's nothing and we're begging for content. And it's like, can you guys not spread out this calendar a little bit? Like, and it's insane. And there's that, plus there's the alignment issues. I don't think Josh Heupel likes the idea of super conferences, because I don't like the idea of super conferences.
What down, Coop?
All SEC center Cooper Mays here, fourth down.
Okay, you are now Josh Heupel. Caleb Calhoun, you're the leader of the SEC coaches. What would you change? Give me your answer in 60 seconds. It's four downs, brought to you by Dynasty Pools and Spas Showroom in Athens. Deliver everything to you. You know, the best thing about Dynasty Pools and Spas is that they've got it all taken care of. What does that mean? Well, you stop by their showroom and check out their fantastic selection of top-notch spas in that showroom in Athens. Make your pick and get ready, because Dynasty Pools and Spas delivers within 125 miles of that location in Athens, that fantastic showroom. They've got the cover lifts, steps, chemicals, and everything you need. Delivery at no extra charge. Just down the road in Athens. You pick the spa you want, and it'll be there for you. Oftentimes discounted with military and first responders discounts. Also blemish models, or just mention Off the Hook Sports. That's Off the Hook Sports for $500 off. There's a discount for you on spas made right here in East Tennessee. Support local. Dynasty Pools and Spas also has the best chemicals for you and your spa and your pool. No fillers, just the chemicals. Made right here in East Tennessee. Support local Dynasty Pools and Spas. $500 off if you mention Off the Hook Sports. $500 off if you mention Off the Hook Sports. Dynasty Pools and Spas. DynastyPoolsandSpas.com. All right, you ready for me to fix everything?
Go ahead.
I'm going to do it. There are two different dates you would need to be aware of. So let's say, what was the spring? Before the spring camp semester, before spring semester, you had the spring transfer portal, and it consisted of what? A deadline to enter it, right?
Correct.
Okay, well, now the deadline to enter it, let's say that's January the 10th, just to make it easy. The deadline to enter it is January the 10th, and other schools can contact you. The deadline to declare your intentions is January the 17th, 7 days later. So that way, a guy like Tyler Barron, or was it Wesley Walker, who got shortchanged by the portal, could have evaluated what they have out there and come back to school. That would also make it easier because you wouldn't have as many people in a second transfer portal because they'd be happier with their changes. So if I'm Josh Heupel, that is my change. Any major change you're making?
Wow, you're doing more player advocacy. Look at Dave caring about the players.
I'm a big player guy. I am. I'm the one who made Derek Dooley mad to the point where he pounded on the desk and talked about Rommel, and that had to do with players. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yes, with the whole players not coming to practice. Forgot about all that. Okay, so with Derek, with or not being allowed into the facilities. Yes. Yeah, so what I would say is that I would fight to change some of the alignment things of the SEC. I want divisions back. You can call me crazy. It's a 16-team league. I want a two-division, 8-team league. I want Alabama and Auburn to move over to the east, Missouri move over to the west. You have an east and the west, and you play every team in your division and two teams in the other division, and then you have an SEC championship. That's what I want.
Other division. I love it. I love it. This day in Tennessee sports history is brought to you by our good friend, and he is a good friend that you need to call whenever you have any sort of issue with, say, criminal defense, or if you have an issue with personal injury. It's T. Scott Jones. Banks and Jones will take care of you in 60 seconds this day in Tennessee sports history. Well, it's because they're Tennessee's trial attorney. You can play to win with Banks and Jones because they'll go to trial. You've heard of other lawyers. They say they'll go to trial and fight for you. They won't. They just want to settle. That's the easiest way out. Well, that's not Banks and Jones, led by T. Scott Jones. They won't settle. They'll go to trial for you. Tennessee's trial attorney. They play to win. Truly, Tennessee's trial attorney when it comes to criminal defense or personal injury. Why settle? It's Banks and Jones. T. Scott Jones. BanksandJones.com. All right, this day in Tennessee sports history is what, Caleb?
Today is April the 26th, and last night was the first round of the NFL draft. And on April the 26th, 2008, Gerard Mayo was drafted in the first round by the New England Patriots. He became a Pro Bowler, Rookie of the Year, one of the greatest people to ever play at Tennessee. And he has since now emerged. Last night, it was his first year as a head coach, and he and his staff and the GM of the Patriots took a quarterback. It's the first draft he was involved in as a head coach. And so he has gone from Pro Bowl player, drafted in 2008 on April the 26th in the first round, to head coach involved in drafting other players on April the 25th. And Dave, you probably know Gerard Mayo better than I do, significantly so.
I like Gerard a lot. I thought he was incredibly smart. When he retired from football with still probably 2 or 3 years in the tank, I didn't question at all because I was like, he's smart. It's either a health issue or he wants to go ahead and start his coaching career. Turns out to be the latter, or TV or whatever the case may be. I didn't know him well enough, but no, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. Josh Heupel trying to force a leadership role on Elijah Simmons. Can he do so? Now, this is part of that Josh Pate interview, and we want to get to that. Elijah Simmons, a defensive tackle who I've been told is every bit as physically gifted as Darnell Wright, who went on to be drafted in the first round of the 2023 NFL draft. That would have been last year. So yep. After the 2022 season. So this guy, I've been told, Elijah Simmons, is every bit as physically gifted. Injuries have kept him from being a standout player. Here is what Josh Heupel had to say about him on Josh Pate's program, who we think does a fantastic job.
You look at our veteran defensive linemen with the new guys that have come in on the interior, on the edges, you know, how they pour in and coach those guys on a day-to-day basis. I made a point inside of our team meeting after I had sat in the D-line meeting just how intentional a guy like Elijah Simmons and Omari Thomas are in pouring into their young guys.
Now, I don't think there's any question Omari Thomas is considered one of the leaders of this team. Elijah Simmons, you may not know it, but is on a lot of leadership councils, and he's a guy that's considered a big-time leader. But I think that's clearly a coach also calling out a young man as a player. They want him to be effective and have an impact like now, like tomorrow, like 2024.
That's exactly what it is. We have been hearing about Elijah Simmons for 2 years now, haven't we? About how this guy is a rare talent. And whatever you guys think about Jeremy Pruitt, he could scout talent, and he really wanted Elijah Simmons when he recruited Elijah Simmons because he was only a 3-star, and he seemed like kind of a nose tackle that was just too slow. Turns out people didn't scout him well. He's got a nose tackle size, but he's wildly athletic for that size, right? Rarely so.
Yes. Yes.
And they are the problem consistently with Elijah Simmons is you got to find a way to trigger him. You got to get him mad. And it's just, I don't know how you do it, Dave, because some people just can't. You told me this where, you know, Albert Hainsworth apparently is actually the nicest person in the world. And it was too nice, so they had to find a way to trigger him. Well, whatever they did at Tennessee, they awoke an angry beast inside that, like, can't control his anger when he goes the other way.
Well, and really, it was more Jeff Fisher in the NFL. So, like, to give a little bit of background, and Simmons should be, at the very least, like this, he should be a man among boys. That's what Hainsworth was. So when he was dominant in college, it was because he was so much better. When he got to the NFL, he told me that kind of the playing field leveled out a little bit. So Jeff Fisher told him he needed to physically see red before he played. And that's when he got the contract for being the franchise player 2 years straight in a row. But if Elijah Simmons needs to see red to change his financial future and the rest of his family tree, then that's what he needs to do. But this is the year for him. There's no question about it. And if you made a list of guys that can not only change the team, but that are running out of time, Elijah Simmons is number one on my list.
Oh, I agree. It's so basically what you need is like Coach Klein from Waterboy. You need someone to get Elijah Simmons to envision that the people in front of him is somebody that's been mean to him in the past.
Great point, Elias, too. A lot of these bigger guys have an entire childhood of being told they need to hold it back. And a lot of these bigger guys, too, don't want to play. They don't want to play up the stereotype. I mean, Elijah's shown that he is a smart guy, that he is a guy who wants to be a leader. He wants to make the university better. So there's probably a little bit of that. I'm not just an athlete, Caleb. I get that.
Yes, I totally agree. He actually, it's interesting. He's also a really big, And you don't know if this, maybe this doesn't translate well. He is a singer. He's an artsy guy. And sometimes artsy guys just can't bring out the absolute raw potential they have as athletes sometimes. And I agree. I think
Are you asking me, is he too nice? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, I think he's too nice.
Bullshit. You can't be too nice. He didn't get to this point with being too nice.
No.
If you'd asked me when he was 12, I might have said,
wait, yes. But no, I disagree, because when you're playing high school football, you just talked about it with Hainsworth in college. Elijah Simmons in high school, he could be too nice because he was, again, a man amongst boys, wasn't he? It was so easy for him to knock everybody around. And by the way, we're forgetting this. He was only a 3-star recruit, which kind of stood out on his own. If he's this rarely physically gifted, he may have underperformed in high school too because he was too nice. So we're talking about a guy that I'm thinking I think he probably, that's a great point. He probably has been told to hold it back. He's an artsy guy. He likes to sing. I think he's just that type of guy that has not figured out yet how to turn it on the football field, where he just lets all of his emotions fly.
Let me ask you this then, and it's brought to you by, does he have it in him? Does he have it in him? Brought to you by Don Self, State Farm agent there in Chattanooga, the greater Chattanooga area. Call 423-396-2126 or go to donself.net right down there, donself.net. Customer service still matters when you want that claim. I'm telling you, customer service still matters. Everybody wants to save money. But when it comes to that claim, donself.net, donself.net. Sounds like you're wondering aloud if he has it in him. He's a three-star, should have been dominant coming out of high school. He likes to sing. He's artsy. He's getting called out by Josh Heupel in a national interview. Sounds like you're questioning whether or not he has it in him. Now, to me, I'll tell you, from people within the program, they'll say he has had a bad run of injuries, been nicked up, banged up. Ultimately, that's up to him to tell a trainer how hurt he is or injured or not. But that's what I've been told by people inside the building, is it's just been a bad run of injury luck. That doesn't hold water at some point, though, right? If we're having the same conversation 6 months, that's not, it's not injuries.
No. Yes, I agree.
Mr. Billy Ratliff. Billy Ratliff is the one example.
Yes, but again, this for Elijah Simmons, this has carried to, again, going back to his college days. And I'm just going to bring this up because he said he models his game apparently after Aaron Donald. I think someone forced him to say that because I think the coaches see Aaron Donald in him. And I know that's crazy, but you know, kind of a shorter defensive tackle who wouldn't be the John Henderson type, but can just blow up a play every time. And it's like they're frustrated that he can't get there. I don't know if he doesn't have it in him, because I will say this. I'm not a therapist, but I think everybody has a level of anger in them that they can unleash. The question becomes, how do you learn how to bring that out and when to bring that out? Dave, I get angry when I'm performing a task and it's not working. You know, half the time when I do it, I go and I purposely break part of the inanimate object that won't do what I need it to do because I'm so mad at it. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I do that all the time, and it causes problems.
Elias has got to want it for yourself. It's basically what you're saying. You're right. People asking who's nicer, me or Caleb. I'm not sure. I think we're both pretty nice fellas. If he doesn't have it in him, it's a shame. But if he doesn't have it in him, he's shown me enough as a young man that he's going to be successful. I want to ask you about some other players that if they up their game a significant level from 2023 to 2024, it could affect Tennessee's win-loss record. Brought to you by Quality Tire Pro. The Eberle family has been serving Chattanooga's community since 1957. All major brands of tires, full-service automotive brake alignments, oil changes, and more, all work covered by a nationwide warranty, Cherokee Boulevard, or online at QualityTirePros.com, QualityTirePros.com. Stop in and say, "Hey, Bo, Off the Hook Sports sent me." "Hey, Bo, Off the Hook Sports sent me." QualityTirePros.com. I got the three players who, if they make the biggest jump, could have the biggest impact on Tennessee's season from 2023 to 2024. And that's going to a 10-win regular season and a college football playoff berth, which I think Tennessee does this year. It's Elijah Simmons. That's one. Number two, it's a defensive back to be named later. And I think it's Ricky Gibson, but I'm not sure. But the third is easy for me, and it actually would be number one. It's Dante Thornton. I think he's going to be a standout on the outside receiver based off some people I've talked to recently. Allow that slot receiver to somebody that's better suited with a slot receiver type body, squirrel. Let Dante play on the outside, and then suddenly you're really big on the outside, the X and the Y, and you're going to be as small and quick at the H. So I think that's what they're going to do. So those are the three guys, probably Gibson, and definitely Simmons and Thornton, that I think could take Tennessee to a whole different level win losses wise.
I thought Dante Thornton had that rare athletic ability when he arrived at Tennessee last year. And I said this was like Kevin Durant joining the Warriors with him joining that offense.
I'm told he may have that they put him at the wrong spot and they were married to it, which you and I've talked about before.
Which wouldn't be the first time Josh Heupel, for such a great offensive coach, has mismanaged his personnel. I don't get how he could be so wrong on his personnel sometimes. And that's becoming a more and more of a red flag, if I'm being honest with you.
No, yeah, I agree. You probably wouldn't have even believed me if there hadn't been a history of it. But there is a history of it.
Yeah, there is. There is. I mean, this is the guy who thought Joe Milton was better than Hendon Hooker. And I'm sorry, there's not a soul in the world who could have seen them both play I don't believe it in for a second in practice. I do not believe Joe Milton looked better than Hendon Hooker in practice. I don't, and no one will ever convince me otherwise. So I think Heupel, the best mix of personnel I've seen, and you would probably agree with me has been on the offensive line. Glenn Ellerbe has done a masterful job at moving players to the right spots on the offensive line.
Can I give you my fourth guy? If I want to make my list of guys that could take the biggest step and make the biggest difference, how about Jackson Lampley, who I think is a pretty average player last year, if he makes a big jump? Because I think somebody gets hurt on the interior of the offensive line at some point, right? Who's your backup guard? Is that Dane Davis?
You don't even have a starting guard yet because all you have is Spraggins and Mays. You're still short one guard to start because I don't think Andre Kira can do it.
I think it's Keurig. I mean, I've been told it's going to be Keurig.
He was awful last year.
Well, I'm not saying he was good, but I'm told it's Keurig. I mean,
that's another guy who stole the NIL money.
I'm not going to argue that. Sports Treasures, they'll never steal from you. And they've got over 5 million Sports Treasures and so much more. Follow on Facebook for the best sports memorabilia, daily updates. They're awesome. Sports Treasures TN, Sports Treasures TN. And then on Saturday, April the 27th, from 5 to 7, Big John Henderson autographing for you. Just reach out to Sports Treasures on Facebook, Sports Treasures TN. Buy your ticket now. Get an awesome autographed piece of memorabilia. And we're going to be giving away, if you want to join our Patreon group, it is right on that page right there. No, it's not an OnlyFans group featuring Caleb Calhoun. It is Hooker's Corner, where you can be a John and win great prizes on a weekly basis or grand prizes on a monthly basis. Next week, we'll have that helmet to give away signed by Big John Henderson. Deion Sanders targeting the Vols? Certainly looks so. 2 minutes with Caleb Calhoun. I'm Dave Hooker. This is a presentation of Off the Hook Sports.
Bronco, 59,829. 24 Ford Maverick, all-wheel drive, 28,540. 24 Ford Explorer, XLT, four-wheel drive, 49,996. Local you trust, experience you can afford. Ray Varner Ford, your East Tennessee Ford dealership.
Sports Treasures in North Knoxville is one of the South's largest sports cards and memorabilia dealers, featuring over 10 million sports cards from vintage to modern. Sports Treasures carries a full line of hobby boxes, singles, autographed memorabilia, Tennessee Vol collectibles, fan cave decorations, and so much more. See a museum full of collectibles at Sports Treasures, 4819 North Broadway in Fountain City, and Sports Treasures on Facebook. Sports Treasures, where the real sports fan goes to shop.
Have you seen the latest TriStar Hats Co. product?
TriStar Hats Co.? What's that?
You know, those really cool hats, shirts, tumblers, and even license plates with three stars like the official Tennessee flag and stripes like the American flag. Pretty patriotic, if you ask me.
Ah, gotcha. Seen those. Those are cool. Where can I get them?
Simple. TriStarHatsCo.com. And if you order now, there's 10% on any order of $50 or more. Plus, use the promo code HOOKED.
With the promo code HOOKED, you get 10% off. That's HOOKED.
And don't forget free shipping with any order over $50. Stock up at TriStarHatsCo.com. That's TriStarHatsCo.com. There are plenty of wannabes out there, so make sure you go to TriStarHatsCo.com for the best quality and customer service.
Will do, and I'll be sure to use the promo code HOOKED. That's HOOKED when I do to save an additional 10% off. TriStarHatsCo.com.
TriStar Hats Co. is a trademark of TriStar Hats Co. LLC. Any use without express written consent is prohibited.
Now in its 45th year, the second and third generations continue Joe Neubert's commitment.
His vision of what this business needed to be, we still try to live up to that.
Joe Neubert Collision Center.
The Dave Hooker Show, represented by Banks and Jones, Tennessee's trial attorney. Play to win, BanksJones.com.
You're listening to The Dave Hooker Show, a presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
The internet is full of pictures of each and every one of you.
Available on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and the Off the Hook Sports app. Download now for free.
Is there nothing you people can't do?
Also available on OffTheHookSports.com.
Absolutely love our message board. Great point brought up by Elias, who throwing some heat today. Elias says the lack of live fire might have contributed to Milton being a practice guy. That's a fair point. What if it wasn't the wrong decision that Josh Heupel made? What if it was a decision? This, again, goes back to his coaching. What if it was a decision based off a lack of information because you didn't have as many live fire reps as you would have had 10 years ago? Because Josh Heupel does not like a lot of live reps. He doesn't like a lot of full contact.
That's a defense that on a general sense can hold up. It does not hold up with this, and it doesn't hold up for a few reasons.
Because you're still the head coach.
Well, yes. Yes, but there's three reasons it actually doesn't hold up here. One, you have told me that you know that some players were upset that he picked Milton and thought that Hooker was a better player from the start, and that for a minute he actually lost the team when he picked Milton. So there's that.
Yes.
Jimmy Hyams told me that in Bear just throwing drills, which is all they showed to the public at the time, everybody thought Milton was better, but he said everybody tied to the program that could see the practices all thought Hooker was better during that time. And then third, and most importantly, you had a mountain of evidence to go on based on Milton's time at Michigan and Hooker's time at Virginia Tech. And by the way, Hooker was clearly better. And ask the message boards of those fan bases. Dave, Michigan fans were very happy to see Joe Milton go. Virginia Tech fans were not happy to see Hendon Hooker go.
Yes. Agreed. By the way, kudos to our message board who just all out went after Arkansas. Their Arkansas Twitter, Hogs Twitter, whatever they call it. Weak. They're no Vol Twitter. They're no you. They came after me. It's weak.
I'm from Memphis. I eat hog ribs.
What's he think? Release the hounds.
The Dave Hooker Show.
Keep cool.
A presentation of OffTheHookSports.com.
3:45 a.m. production meeting. Caleb comes at me with this, and I'm thinking, Caleb, have you gone to bed or just been up partying all night? Is Deion Sanders specifically coming after the University of Tennessee while the head coach at Colorado, in particular with recruiting? Is he coming after the University of Tennessee? Elijah Herring, by the way, has visited Colorado. Herring has left Tennessee. I think they were fine with him leaving. But it wouldn't surprise me if a Colorado phone call was made during the season that, my Elijah, it looks like you're running around a lot lost. Maybe you need to play for Colorado. I jest. But is Deion Sanders really coming after Tennessee? I say absolutely. They're one of those 15, 20 schools that are on the verge of taking the next step, and they're getting the elite talent that has enough of a thought process where they might go somewhere else besides just pick Alabama because it's easy. So yes, those are the schools that are all lumped together that are going after the same guys in recruiting. Now, Colorado is playing above its weight class because of a guy named Deion Sanders, the head coach. But yeah, they're going after Tennessee, no question about it.
They are absolutely targeting Tennessee. And there's just mountains of evidence at this point. The first is Amari McNeil, who was at Tennessee and hit the portal. Probably, I mean, he wasn't going to play much, but he transferred and Colorado took him immediately when Deion Sanders was trying to build his team through the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Then
Amari McNeil, for those that don't remember, was?
He was a lineman for Tennessee back in the day. Three-star. Right. And yeah, so now a defensive lineman, to be specific. Okay, so there was that. Then there is the fact that he was fighting with Tennessee for Jordan Seaton last year, and he won that battle, to his credit. There's the news about
Jordan
Elijah Herring.
Remind me of Jordan.
Seaton was a five-star offensive lineman who Tennessee thought they had the inside track with until the week of when Seaton did that whole Skip Bayless thing. And so going on Fox Sports 1.
I was told that was a big pay thing. But yeah, so that's legal. That's not a bad thing. You just put more of an emphasis on some guys you want more than others.
Yes, but look, they offer the money for the guy that Tennessee's targeting the most heavily. Then there is Elijah Herring we just talked about.
And I'll say this. The pay thing in high school is not going to work much longer. That's an antiquated notion already. To pay guys coming out of high school ain't real smart. Most of them. But go ahead.
Okay. So then there's Elijah Herring. We talked about them targeting. But then there's this, and this is still the biggest one, because Dave and I were speaking alone last year. We spoke by ourselves because we had connections and spoke to certain reporters about Boo Carter. And Colorado went out of their way to really put up a fake narrative that lasted, Dave, for about 3 months that Boo Carter was going to flip. And they were leaking that narrative so hard. National reporters were leaking that narrative. 247 Sports, On Three, all these guys were literally going to everyone saying, Boo Carter's going to flip. Boo Carter's going to flip. It got so permeated that all of Twitter was certain he was going to flip. And they started criticizing him, quite honestly, talking about his attitude and things like this. And Dave and I were like, guys, he's not flipping. Everybody came at us. Twitter was saying, don't get your hopes up. The Dion contingency, because there is no real Colorado fan base, the Dion contingency was like, you guys don't know. We're going to get Boo Carter at Colorado. I didn't even know who Colorado was 2 years ago, but Dion Sanders, and we're going to get Boo Carter. And,
hey, let me ask you this. Not that I need a break from the voice, but I do. But let me ask you this. Is it easier to go after a Josh Heupel than, say, a Lincoln Riley? Lincoln Riley's kind of a cool-looking dude. He's at that Southern Cal place. Last I checked, I believe that's in L.A. So you're a pretty cool dude. You're right next to the Rainbow Room, for goodness gracious. You're down the road from the Laugh Factory. You're in the middle of it all. Paramount Pictures, just right there. You're Josh Heupel. You're not nearly as good-looking. I hate to tell you that, but you're not. And you're the head coach at some Southern school. Do you think Deion Sanders looks at Josh Heupel as more of a simpleton when he targets coaches he's going to go after?
No, I actually don't. I mean, because okay. Deion Sanders is a Southerner, so Deion knows. I think Deion
also knows good ball, and he knows the schematics or sound of what Heupel's doing.
He does. He was targeting Tennessee because he smelled blood. Because Tennessee, there's a few things. One, there was the NCAA investigation that took how long to get wrapped up? I'm not talking about the one recently with the NIL lawsuit. I'm talking about from the Jeremy Pruitt saga. That didn't get wrapped up till last summer. Okay, so there was that. He also smelled blood because I think a lot of people, including people in Vol media, but I think a lot of people in the coaching circles knew Tennessee was going to have a drop-off this past year with Joe Milton. And they knew with the drop-off, that could hurt Josh Heupel's national profile.
Okay, you beat me to the punch a little bit. It's not just the media. These coaches talk. Mm-hmm. If Deion Sanders came after Tennessee last calendar year, in other words, after Hendon Hooker went to the turf in Columbia, from that point forward until today, April 26th, then he did it because he knew through the grapevine that Joe Milton wasn't the answer. And the guy has been at Michigan. He's been at Tennessee for roughly, I think, 18 and a half years combined. So everybody knew if he could play or not. My goodness, I know more about him than Drake May, who got drafted. Yeah, and it's not even – pick a quarterback. I knew more about him than Bryce Young. So he's been out there. And, yes, I think Deion – I will answer your question, which you didn't really ask. I think Deion partly targeted Tennessee because he thought they would have a slight fall off with Joe Milton. I will give you that.
Yes. And what does the fall off mean? It actually, as you know, Dave, a fall off hurts the profile of the head coach because people start to question if they can really get the job done, don't they? And so Josh Heupel, who was the hottest commodity in 2022, I think some questions have arose about him in 2023. Not that I have, not that you have, but some in Knoxville media. Our own John Adams has questions about Heupel because he was thinking, why'd you start Joe Milton over Nico Iamaleava last year? And so if those questions arise, that's a little bit of blood in recruiting. And if you smell blood, you pounce, don't you? That's what you do.
Yeah. And I think Colorado, the administration has to be really careful there that they don't turn themselves into a AAA of college football. And I say that because if Deion Sanders can't hold on to good assistant coaches and that becomes a place where just talented guys go, then it's going to become a place where Tennessee might as well set up a shop outside of Boulder and have a little brick and mortar where they have a recruiting office and they go over to the guys that are upset that they're being utilized the wrong way, because that's what's going to happen. So if I'm, because you're going to give Deion Sanders longer than you should, right? Caleb, Deion's going to get 4 years instead of 3 or 5 instead of 4 because he's Deion Sanders. So you better be careful if you're that Colorado administration, or laughingstock may be too strong, but I don't think AAA is too strong at all. And then this tweet, can we pull the tweet up? Because I want to be careful about this because I don't want to throw anybody's reputation under the bus. But this is potentially just a playful thing or potentially a lot more serious. I want to draw attention to it because I've been telling you for a while there's going to be a major gambling scandal. And I'm not saying this is it, but keep an eye on it because it includes a former Vol. Tobias Harris, what can you tell us about the former Vol in the NBA?
So we're going to have a little fun with this because there, guys, we are saying this up front. There is absolutely no proof whatsoever of any of this. And for those who don't know, I don't know how many of you guys, how keyed in y'all are to pro sports or anything like that, but Philly Pro Sports Twitter is the most savage Twitter out there. Philly fans are the most savage fans out there. I love them. So they will go nuclear. So take all of that into account when I'm about to say what I'm about to say. But the NBA just had a gambling scandal where Jontay Porter, who was banned for life from the league, was basically betting against his own props, which for those, we all know prop bets are individual stats.
Well, for those that don't, yeah, prop bets are individual stats, so that would make them highly controllable. It's not like saying Caleb and I have to beat this other team by 16 points. It would be very easy to manipulate, one would think.
Exactly. And so the Sixers, by the way, congratulations.
The cheating you could possibly do would be the way that I would put it.
Right, exactly. And so the Sixers, who, by the way, congratulations, did beat the Knicks last night. Joel Embiid came back and dropped 50 points. And so it's now 2-1 series lead for the Knicks. But the Sixers, Tobias Harris averaged for the year 13.5 shots per game. So right around 14 shots per game.
Tobias Harris, if you don't remember, played 1 year at the University of Tennessee. He has turned in. Yes, under Bruce Pearl, he has turned into a jump shooter if you haven't seen him in the NBA for the most part. He is kind of a poor man's Allen Houston in some ways. Go ahead.
Yes. So 13.5 points a game, averaging double figures. Or I'm sorry, takes 13.5 shots a game and was averaging double figures. In the first two games, without Joel Embiid, so you would think there'd be more shots for him to take, he took 7 shots and then he took 11 shots. And then he took 10 shots last night. And Philly Twitter, and again, I'm just going to share some tweet. I'm just going to show some of them with you real quick. They are going at Tobias Harris.
Okay, this is completely unfair. This is so completely unfair. Can we bring that up? Because for one, I know him. I know his family. He would never do anything like this. This is absurd. And it's the frustrating part about professional sports to me, especially Philly fans. And if you're a Philly fan, I'm sorry. And I love you, Dane Bradshaw, but you are a fan of the worst program in the nation ever.
The worst sports fan, you mean?
Yes. Just a fan of the worst.
Spoken like a true Cowboys fan.
Yes. They root for people when they're down on the ground with no movement past their neck. They think that's funny. Ha, ha, ha. They're terrible people. They throw icicles at Santa Claus. They're just bad people. Now they're going after Tobias Harris, and I'm not going to stand for it.
I think that Philly fans are what makes sports great. And here's why. You ever listen to Philly Sports Radio, Dave? You ever listen to Philly fans talk or anything like that on radio?
Yeah, I have.
They are the only, people say that they're harsh to opposing fans, or they're harsh to their own teams. They are the only fan base. Is this fair to say? Them in New York to a degree too. Philly and New York sports fans are the only two fan bases that don't get swept up in their own players. They hold you accountable for what you do or don't do. And all I'm saying is that Philly sports, I totally defend them for pelting Santa Claus. The Santa Claus himself, who played Santa Claus that day, said, who was a Philly fan, said, I would have pelted myself. Because the actual Santa Claus that was supposed to come out that day was drunk because he was mad that the Eagles were winning that game because that was going to cost them the number one draft pick because they really wanted O.J. Simpson that year. That's the funny story about that. Okay, so they were mad, so they pelted Santa Claus, and I totally defend them on that. They are going nuclear on Tobias Harris, and I have to say this, Dave. At the very least, Tobias Harris is shrinking when it matters most, right? Like, he's massively shrinking in the postseason. Joel Embiid's not there. If Joel Embiid's not there, you should be taking more than 10 shots in a game when you're one of the primary scorers, right?
Wouldn't you, if you're Tobias Harris, this is where it gets goofy, and you're paying attention to any of this, aren't you shooting every time you get the ball in your hands? Next game, you're going to make sure you're taking your over, right?
For the game. Yes. I mean, at the very yes, you probably are, but then people would say that he's taking his over on purpose because any bet on that. Here's a funny stat for you. Someone asked Dave, which record is most unbreakable? LeBron James's 40,000 career points, John Stockton's 3,000 career steals, or Tobias Harris making $248 million and never making an all-star game in the NBA. And that was what I saw the other day that was kind of funny. I just had to point that out. But all I'm saying is that Tobias Harris, I don't think he's betting. I think it's unfair, but it for the first two games that they lost without Joel Embiid, there's no excuse for him to take so many fewer shots than his average when the star player that would take shots away from him is not on the court.
I agree. Hey, let's do this. Let's give away a shirt. How about that? The state of Tennessee versus the NCAA shirt. We'll give that away right now. Let's share the screen and we'll go ahead and give her a spin. Who wins today? Again, you can be a part of our Patreon group where today the winner is, oh, my screen changed. It's Alex. Alex, congratulations. You're our big winner. We certainly appreciate you. Alex, we will get you that prize there and have a fantastic day, everyone. For the one, the only Caleb Calhoun, I'm Dave Hooker. This has been a presentation of Off the Hook Sports.